it's really the reality for most guys in the NFL. You know, I don't want to think that I'm any different than everyone else. Like, it's football's a tough business. It's a production business. I'm ready to go this year, and that's really what matters, and that's where my focus is. It's a unique situation I'm in, you know. I'm 20th year with the same team, you know, be 42 years old, so pretty much uncharted territory, I think, for everybody. You know, I'm going to go out there and do the best I can this year and see what happens.
Or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, AdCare can help with locations in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Help is just around the corner. Your path to recovery begins at AdCare. Call AdCare now at 1-800-ALCOHOL. That's 1-800-ALCOHOL. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in from the MMQB, Bert Breer, who joins us now on Patriots Preview, driven by the all-wheel drive 2019 Honda CR-V. Bert, what's going on? What do you think of Brady's new faux contract extension, the extension that is not an extension at all?
Yeah, it's interesting, Bill. I mean, I've been going around.
Wait, put him on hold. We're going to do this with Bert again this year? It's preseason game number one. We're all good to go here today. We've worked out, I think, our kinks on the telephone on our end.
It's preseason for everybody.
Yeah, we put him up and we get that.
Are you mad?
A little bit.
You sound a little mad.
I'm a little upset. This is a recurring issue with Bert's phone.
Well, you know, Bert, I mean, Bert's house is, I mean, he lives out on a big tract of land.
Like, how do we know he's home?
They should have a cell phone tower out there.
How do we know he's home?
Oh, he might be on his training camp tour, actually.
Could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Bert, he travels, man.
That's true. He's probably on his training camp tour.
He's in demand. He's in New York City.
Yeah.
He's all over the place.
Yeah. I'm wondering where he is, actually.
We'll see if he's in a better spot.
All right.
Let's see if we can hear him this time. Let's try it again. Bert, you there? Okay, they're calling him back.
Okay, they're getting him back. You know, he does this big training camp tour for the MMQB, so I'm curious where he is. I mean, he could be somewhere in, like, Napa Valley with terrible cell service following the Raiders. I have no idea where he is.
You know, for a man of his means,
yeah,
he does not invest enough in his cell phone technology.
You don't think so?
He's been a man who's been known to walk around with, like, a smashed iPhone.
That's true. Okay? That is true. Yeah. Yes, he has.
Like, Bert, what's with your phone, dude? Like, get a new phone.
I don't know. Bert is a man of means, though. That is true. That's definitely true. But, I mean, he's plugged in on this, so we definitely want to wait and make sure we hear what he has to say.
Yes, no, I do. I was like, oh, we got to talk to Bert about Brady.
This is the perfect guy
to
talk to about.
He's hearing. He's one of those guys who's plugged in on the matter.
Exactly.
He's got the hookups on this one.
Yeah.
What's he got to say? And then we get Bert. That's interesting. What? Huh?
You're a lot more patient than Felger, though.
Oh, he'd be.
Oh, God.
He'd say that's it. He wouldn't even go back to
it. Oh, man.
Let me know when we have him back. We'll try and get him back in.
But, you know, Nantucket does have bad cell service.
Okay, good to go. Bert, you with us again?
Chris, you know better than that. I'm not in Nantucket. That was some months ago.
There you go. See? This is much better.
All right, so give us your thoughts and your reaction. And now that the details have become more clear, what do you think the future is with Tom Brady?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm going around to all these camps, and the number one question from other teams is, does this mean he's retiring? I mean, that's what almost everybody else who's outside the Patriots, what these other teams, but that's what they're all speculating. I don't think this is his last year. That's my opinion. Based on people I know around him, I think he wants to keep playing. You know, and I think, you know, part of this goes back to those incentives last year. And they made him work to get those. And, you know, then he doesn't hit the incentives. And I think you can argue that that was due to a lot of extenuating circumstances. Edelman, you know, especially the beginning of the year, obviously, lost out. You know, so he hit none of those incentives. And, you know, so I think because of that, that's something you don't forget if you're him. And I think you'd like to get something done where, you know, you're at least assured that you're going to be on the team for, you know, two or three more years. But, you know, clearly the Patriots feel like they're going into an unprecedented situation. And, you know, I think both sides at this point have to lean back on that relationship between, you know, Brady and the Kraft family. And that's going to carry them through the 2020 and 2021 and for however long he plays. Because, you know, clearly there's some disagreement on the way that this should be done, and this is, you know, obviously a band-aid to take care of the situation for right now.
Okay, what happened and what changed from a year ago, Bert? Because you mentioned those incentives from a year ago that he went 0-for-5 on, and you mentioned some of those other circumstances. This time around, a year later, he gets no incentives. He gets $8 million, and he gets the leverage taken away from the team. He takes it all back, and he's a free man at the end of the year, and he gets more control. What changed in that year, and what did he force on them? Did he threaten a holdout? What happened for him to be able to get those things?
Well, I can't tell you for a fact. But, you know, and I know I've heard the speculation. Would he have gone to Detroit? Would he have gone to Tennessee if a deal wasn't done? My sense is he probably wouldn't have wanted to put himself in harm's way, and wouldn't have wanted to be taking hits. You know, while this was still going on. You know, but I don't know that for a fact either. So I can just tell you that there was clearly, you know, on the Brady side of this, there's clearly a feeling that, you know, like that the incentive piece of that was something that was tough for him last year. And, you know, being back, I think that it was going to take some sort of sweetener. I think, like, quite honestly, like, he was going to need that $5 million. And he gets that and then some here. And obviously now at the end of the year, they'll revisit all of this. I don't think he wants to play anywhere else, guys. I think if push comes to shove, you know, he'll probably take less again. Doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be happy about it, but I think this is where he wants to be. And, you know, I think that part of, you know, where we are a year from now is going to just depend on, you know, where the relationship is between the player and the team. Because I really truly believe that that's what the Kraft family's betting on, is that, you know, that the relationship with Brady is still good enough where, you know, ultimately they'll be able to get something done and they'll be able to work something out when you get to the end of this deal.
So who do you think, you know, makes this call, Bert? Because my sense of this is that what sort of shifted here is that this used to be just strictly, you know, between Brady and Robert Kraft, and now it seems like there's at least an effort here to sort of hold the line for Belichick. You know, last year with the incentives, I thought that was a win for Belichick. This year, giving Brady essentially what adds up to just a pay raise, it's like a one-year deal, not giving him anything beyond that, it seems like a win for Belichick. And it seems like Belichick's going to have some input, some say, into what Brady's contract is moving forward.
Yeah, and I have to think, Chris, that if push comes to shove, and Brady was actually thinking about going somewhere else, that Robert would step in. You'd hope it doesn't get to that point, right? Like, you'd hope it won't get to that point. But we know how Bill's operated the organization, you know, going all the way back to when he got here. And, you know, over the years, you can look at case after case after case, even when they've been graceful exits, right? Like, and look, I mean, this happened with Adrian Wilson. I believe it happened with Teddy Bruschi, where it may have happened with John Lynch. There were certain players who were here at the end of their careers where it was like, he brought them in and he said, you're not going to be on the team. So, like, you can retire if you want, and we won't give you a graceful exit, you know? He's been very decisive when it comes to those things. When he thinks that a player is done, you know, he's been more, no matter what the player's legacy is, no matter what the history is with the franchise, no matter who the guy is as a person, Belichick's been very, very cold and very decisive about those sorts of things, and that's to the benefit of the Patriots, you know, and it's been, I think, the advantage the Patriots have had over the years. They've been cold and decisive in those situations. I really don't know that you can operate that way with a guy of this stature, and I've always felt like if it came down to it, Brady could always turn to Kraft, and it sort of felt, and I don't know about you guys, but it sort of felt like that's what he was doing, you know, when he talked about, you know, we'll ask, you know, ask Robert Kraft about that just before the contract got done.
But wouldn't he have turned to Kraft this time and all he got was $8 million? He didn't get any more years. So if he turns to him this time and doesn't, it's not bad, but it's not what he wanted. So if he turns to him this time,
he didn't sound thrilled with it the other day, Bert,
and doesn't get it, is he going to get it next time?
Look, I think he'd rather have, to me, right? Like, because I don't think if you look back at Brady's history, right? Like, the one thing, like, he's not going to hold the team over a barrel, but he doesn't forget either, right? And I'm sure you guys have heard this story, but this goes back to like when he was a rookie, and I believe he had 10, 20, 30,000, whatever it was shorted a very small amount of money out of his rookie contract, right? And so then they went back and they were negotiating his first really big deal in 2005. At the very end of that negotiation, Brady made them put the $40,000 or $50,000 or whatever it was in the deal at the very end because he wanted to make a point of that. Like, I'm getting that money back. And so, you know, I can't imagine that the kind of thing, I can't imagine that wasn't a factor here. Like, that he didn't want that money back. And so I'm just telling you, like, in this situation, I think with almost any other player, Belichick would have said, well, you know, tough crap. You know, you're going to play your contract out as it stands. If you don't play by our rules. And in this case, he got the $5 million back, he got an extra $3 million on top of it, and then he got a ton of leverage for next year. And I think a part of that is probably because, you know, because maybe he wanted to get back to the top of the market. If you look at the money, right, like if you look at the money there on the extra 2 years, it's interesting to me, at least, that those placeholders, which are irrelevant, right? They're void years.
They're ghost years.
Useless.
Right. Yeah. But isn't it interesting that those 2 years is $35 million apiece, which is exactly what Russell Wilson got, right?
If you do the math, yeah.
Yeah, if you divide it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you get an extra eight this year, you get 30 and 32. That adds up to 70 in new money over 2 years. That's top of the market. And I can't imagine that that was a mistake. Like, I think that that was done because it was on the top of the market quarterback, and you're going to show it by putting that out there. And, you know, at the very least, like, this isn't like a discount for the team. Like, he gets an extra $8 million, and he's got the leverage of not, you know, being able to be tagged at the end of the year. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he uses that leverage. He didn't get everything he wanted here. I'm sure he'd like the security of having like the next 2 years guaranteed or whatever. But he walked away from this having leverage for 2020. Whether he uses it or not, we'll see. His history always said that, you know, you look at over the course of the years and everything else, his history says he won't use it to the full extent, but at least right now he has it.
Bert, in the 30 seconds we have left, that is, how long before someone tries to tamper with Tom Brady?
Yesterday? I don't know. I mean, I honestly, it'll be really interesting because there are creative ways to do this now. You know, and Brady's been in the league so long. He's got friends all over the place. So, I mean, would you be surprised if there weren't a couple texts in his phone right now from opposing players he might know that say, like, hey, you know, our quarterback's on shaky ground here. Like, I don't know. I mean, I probably could come up with an example of a player.
I'm talking about GMs, though. I'm talking about head coaches and GMs and backdoor, high-level stuff.
Well, I mean, next week he'll be with Vrabel, right? Mariota's in the contract here.
Yeah.
Like, Matt, you know, maybe they have a nice little conversation. And, you know,
about his future.
One of those little kidding but not kidding things, you know?
Yeah, why don't they go out and have dinner together, just as friends, former teammates?
Vrabel just better be more artful than Jack Easterby was.
Just two old buddies catching up, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. All right, Bert, thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.